As you all are used to by now and know, the first of the year I seek the Lord. The Lord has pretty consistently now for many years, I felt like, given me a word or a passage of Scripture to express what He had in store for the year and what was something for me to feed on through that year. And usually it has been very meaningful to me throughout the year. Sometimes maybe didn't really understand it at the beginning of the year when He gave it as much as I did at the end of the year. But this is actually no different this year. On the 1st of January, as I got up and had my time alone with the Lord and sought Him, He just went about in a special way to direct me to a particular scripture. And that scripture was Isaiah 55 in verse 3. And it really reached out and rung my bell, you might say. The light went off. Those things that happen on the inside when you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And then I read it in context in this whole chapter. And I believe this whole chapter is a very good, bright and shining light for us for this year to come. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's right in the section, in the middle, you might say, of the section of Isaiah where God has begun redemption, you might say, where God has turned from wrath and judgment, which so much of the first 39 books of Isaiah speak about, to the time of healing and restoration and salvation and redemption. And that's where we find this chapter right there in the middle of that section of Isaiah. And it's a tremendous, tremendous invitation from God. And it's one that is resounded through the New Testament. There are elements in even these first three verses, as well as others throughout the chapter, that you hear again. Some of them are on the very lips of Christ Himself. He said them first to Isaiah, and then He says them again to all of us when He is incarnate in His human body. So I would encourage you this year, maybe even once a week if you can think of it, to read this chapter and to ask the Lord to speak to you through it and to give you insight into not only your own life, but into the events of the world and what's going on around you. I had great hopes and even some thoughts about preaching this chapter this morning. But the more I looked at it, the more I got a clue that that was never going to happen this morning. No way that I could say all that I would like to say from this whole chapter. So we're going to take some time probably to look at this chapter in Isaiah. But this morning I did want us to spend time on these first three verses and to head especially to verse 3 because I believe it is a pivotal and key point in this passage that the Holy Spirit is saying to us. You know, when you pick up the King James Bible, and of course it's in early King James English, you might say, and of course I typically use, as you know, the New King James Version, which is the same thing, just kind of drops some of the colloquialisms of the early King James way of speaking. But this one just kind of jumps out at you. It says, "Ho!" And we're not used to saying that. We might would say, "Hey!" Or, you know, what they always say in the fairy tales, "Hear ye, hear ye!" It's a It's an attention getter. Because what's about to be said is of emphatic importance, since it's coming from God. Doing the announcement. This is not just Isaiah. This is not just a man. This is God Almighty saying, hey, he's going to the trouble and the effort to get your attention, to get our attention, to get us to take a moment and listen to what he's saying. And what he's saying is a wonderful offer, too good to be true, an invitation that is beyond imagination. Who's he talking to? Oh, everyone who thirsts. Everyone who thirsts. That's who he's talking to. You know, God doesn't really have much to say to someone who's not thirsty. He's never, hardly ever listened to by someone who has no need. By someone who's not thirsty. By someone who's not seeking, needing, aware that they are not satisfied, that they are not sufficient, that they are not able to meet their own need. So he says, everyone who's thirsty. And wonderful that it says everyone. It's no one left out. Anyone who's thirsty, that's who God's talking to. Jesus says some of the same in the New Testament. Everyone who thirsts, he says, come to the waters. God says, come to the waters. If you're thirsty, if there's a need in your soul, if there's a dryness in your spirit, if you know there's something missing, the one who has the answer has extended the invitation. Hey! Come to the waters. And you who have no money. You who have no money. Come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without a price. It's kind of plays with your mind when he says, come with no money, without money and without price, and buy. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. It's interesting that he says here three times, come. Because that's what the invitation is. God does not force himself on anyone. God does not force salvation. God does not force forgiveness. God does not force entrance into his family. He does not force forgiveness on anyone. What God offers is beyond description, but he offers it to the free will, to the thirsty. It's without money and it's without price because we cannot pay for it. No matter what anyone has, no matter how much anyone has, their money is not enough. He says three times, come. He invites us three times. You couldn't be any more emphatic than that. Make the decision. Make the choice. Take the step of faith. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Buy and eat, he says. Why? Buy and eat. Obviously, he's not talking about buying like we would at the store, because there we spend our money. Here he is offering something that is beyond price. When he tells us to buy and eat, what he's saying is come, receive, take possession of, make it your own, ingest what God is offering to satisfy that longing, that thirst, that dryness, without money, without price, because the cost is immeasurable, inconceivable, inexpressible. It's beyond anything we could ever pay. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of grace. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. The psalmist understood it. The psalmist said in Psalm 49, verse 6 through 9, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever. That he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. You see, that's who God's invitation is to. Those who are thirsty, those who know they're not going to make it. Unless they find the water of life, that's beyond all they can accomplish, all they can do, and all they can afford. They understand that there is no price they could pay that would be enough to forgive their sins. Buy and eat, because it's God's grace, his great goodness in Jesus Christ. The reason it is without price is because we could not pay it, but it has already been paid. That's the glorious news of the grace of God. It has already been paid. The very verses we read for our communion, two of the verses in the middle of it, First Peter 8, 1, 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, things that can tarnish, things that can rust, things that can be stolen. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. That way of life in sin and darkness, selfishness that we receive as humans. But with the blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish and without spot. He invites us to come. Come to the water. Come to the water. Buy wine. Buy milk. Then he says in verse 2, why do you spend your money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? He mentions water, wine, milk, and bread. Everything that's essential to life, to abundant life, to full life. He says, why do you spend? Why do you invest? Why do you give? Why do we pursue? Why do we put so much into that which means so little? That cannot satisfy and never does. It's always, it always ends up being lackluster. It always ends up failing to fill the hole. Vicki and I watched an interesting movie last night about a lady who was a Jew who lived in Austria, and they had to flee when the Nazis took over. And of course, as you know, the Nazis stole all the artwork, great artwork that they could find, and she had made it, her and her husband had made it to America. Most of her family had perished. But this was, of course, many years later, and the movie was about her pursuing this artwork that her family had owned and that the Nazis had taken. And of course, the movies through the whole process is actually a true story. But once she finally achieves her goal, she admits to the young man who was her attorney, her lawyer, who pursued this whole thing with her, and that's what the movie's all about, is them going through the whole process, fighting with the government of Australia legally, Austria legally, and all of that. That was what was funny. That's what made me laugh. One of the he went to get his ticket, and he handed it to the fella at the ticket booth or wherever it was. He was fixing it on the plane or something. And the guy looked at it and said, "Oh yeah, I'm so glad. I want to go there someday. My wife loves kangaroos." And they were talking about Austria, not Australia, like I just said. But anyway, my point is, when she finally got through, achieved her goal, she turned to the young man who had gone through this whole horrific fight with her. And she said, "You know, I really thought when I got there, it would change something. It would fix something. It would heal something." And of course, it didn't. Because even as expensive and as beautiful as that artwork was, like everything else that's of this world, it cannot satisfy. It cannot satisfy. That's why God Himself, in fact, Jesus shouts at one point in the middle of the feast, with a loud voice, means He's shouting, "Come to Me if you're thirsty. Come and drink. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water." Nothing can satisfy like what God offers. And He invites us to quit wasting our time and our lives on so much that's useless. And begin to buy, to come without price, but by His grace come. And enjoy. Come and receive. Come and have the pleasure of His company and His presence. That's why the Scripture says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He says, "Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy?" Then He says in the last part of verse 2, "Listen carefully to Me." Listen carefully to Me. Like I've said before, eternal life is not religion. It's not just dead or empty ritual. Now, ritual can be very meaningful in the right place, but Christianity and eternal life is relationship with God. It's intimate friendship with the Almighty. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why He says, "Listen carefully." Carefully. With the greatest attention and intention to hear and obey, to put into practice, to believe. Trust in what He says. Listen carefully to Me. You see, that's one reason why we got these books like we did last year and this year just to help us, to help you in your time with the Lord, to spend time daily in His Word, just reading and listening and letting the Holy Spirit speak to you and using a devotional like that and others, because as I've said before, I use many. But the main thing is to be with Him, to have the intention to listen and listen carefully, to pay attention. That's how ritual can become lifeless, is when it's just done for the doing and not for the purpose of fellowship and worship with God. He says, "Eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance." See, what God offers to us is beyond any pleasure we can find in anything else. Now, He gave us all that He gave us, all the pleasure that there is rightfully and legally and morally in this world is from God. It was His idea, and it's what He wants us to have. But He invites us to His table to have that's best, to eat what is good, to let our soul delight itself in abundance, to accept God's grace. That's why He invites us to come without price. You can't earn your way. You're not going to achieve it. You're not going to be good enough. You just come like the prodigal son with the smell of the hog pen still on him. And he comes back home and he finds himself at his father's table with the fatted calf, with a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and the best robe in the house. Just because he came back to his father. And that's where God invites us to receive his lavish blessings, his rich loving kindness for free. All that you could possibly want. All, like was famous, they don't do it so much anymore, but there for a lot of years, the biggest drive on the restaurant market was the buffet. All you can eat. God says, ho! Come. Come. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You're just invited to enjoy it without measure or limit through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal and steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And then he restates even more emphatically what he's just said in verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Take the time to come and listen, to pay attention, to turn your ear, to lean your heart, to lean into God and into His presence. Incline your ear and come to me. Choose, decide, seek, pay attention. Pay attention. He says, incline your ear, come to me, hear. Hear. Listen intently. Pay attention. Believe that He does speak. He knows you personally. He knows what's going on in your life. When you read the Scripture or have a passage that you're looking at or reading, maybe a verse even, or when you're reading your devotional, ask the Lord to speak to you and believe that He is, that He will, that He cares. Listen intently. Hear, He says, and your soul shall live. What a promise. Hear, incline your ear, come, hear, and your soul shall live. That is exactly what every human being, whether they would admit it or not, wants. They want to live. They want life. And they want it forever. You do, I do. That's what we're doing here. Because we found it. It's in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we have the promise that if we will incline, if we'll desire, if we'll come, if we'll hear, if we'll listen, not only will we live, He, God, the one who got our attention in the first place with that loud, hey, you, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. When God makes a promise, you can count on it. He's going to keep it. And that covenant He has promised is the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. That's what He's promising you and me. An unknown, unlikely, unchosen by men, even by His own father. When Samuel showed up to anoint the king in this man's house among his sons, his father didn't even bother to bring David in. Until Samuel asked the question, was there any others? Because none of these guys are it. This guy, the unknown, unlikely, unchosen by men, yet chosen, anointed, empowered, and exalted by God to become a great leader, spiritually, politically, militarily, by the grace of God, who endured great troubles and challenges and problems, even one of his own sons trying to steal his throne and kill him, great sin among his children, great sin in his own life. Yet by God's grace, he would repent and believe and experience God's mercy over and over and over again God's sure mercies, so that even after he died, God himself would call David a man after his own heart and declare that his seed, of his seed, one in his line and family would sit upon his throne forever. The very Son of God, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Come, buy, and eat. Listen carefully. Incline your ear. Hear. Pay attention. Hear. Jesus Christ. Believe, follow, spend time with him. Listen as you read his word, your devotional books, and your prayer time. And enjoy what God has promised. Enjoy life, abundant life, eternal life, an intimate friendship with the King, Jesus Christ, our Lord and only Savior.